You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. The head of the UN's nuclear watchdog arrived in Tehran on Wednesday for a day of talks he hopes will convince the Islamic Republic to open up its suspect nuclear program to more rigorous inspections. International Atomic Energy Agency IAEA Director General Mohammad El-Baradei wants Iran to immediately and unconditionally sign, ratify, and implement an additional protocol to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. The signing would grant his inspection teams the power to make surprise visits to suspect facilities. At present, Iran is only obliged to accept pre-arranged visits to sites it chooses to declare. Official sources said that El-Baradei was to talk on the thorny issue with Iran's atomic energy chief and vice president. He also is due to meet with Iran's reformist president, Mohammad Khatami, and Foreign Minister Kamal Karazi. Although Iran has fiercely denied U.S. allegations that its atomic energy program is merely a cover for a top-secret bid to acquire nuclear weapons, officials are so far showing no sign of buckling under international demands. But Iranian officials are expected to tell El-Baradei that they see demands for more inspections as being driven by the United States and that while they have nothing to hide, their signing of the protocol can only come after lengthy talks that would bring to an end what they see as unfair treatment. Peace Watch correspondent Ingrid Drake attended a demonstration of Iranians this morning in Washington, D.C. Many of them were calling for U.S. intervention in Iran, with a couple of others who declared their opposition.
My son and I are holding up a banner across the street from U.S. Capitol grounds. The banner says, U.S. hands off Iran. It is how we feel, that democracy in Iran doesn't require U.S. intervention.
Go, go, go! Islamic regime of Iran must go!
Today, more than 300 people gathered on the west lawn of the U.S. Capitol. Amid the float of American and Iranian flags, a backdrop of Iranian music, and many asking for U.S. intervention in Iran, Ross and his teenage son held a banner opposing U.S. intervention.
15 minutes ago, we were actually on the other side of the street, closer to the pro-monarchy, pro-U.S. intervention side of the street. But a bunch of them, two dozen people, came over and started taunting us and also tried to block our banner from being seen by the media or whoever is there closer to the Capitol building. And I felt physically threatened. I really felt that if these people are working so hard for democracy in Iran, if they were, then they wouldn't be so bothered by me and threaten me and take photographs of me and said, tomorrow we'll hang you in Iran when we take over in Iran.
Almost everyone is holding a sign, and one popular slogan read, Iran is governed by terrorists. Other posters showed people who had been hung, beaten, and jailed. California Republican Representative Christopher Cox was one of several members of Congress to address the crowd.
Our American ideals and principles are universal. Iranians, like all people, have a right to choose their own government and to determine their own destiny. Today, we stand with the people of Iran in their struggle for democracy. I want to thank all of you for supporting the aspirations of the Iranian people for freedom, for democracy, and for what we enjoy here in the United States, and for what, as a human right, people around the world should and can enjoy.
California Republican Representative Dana Rohrabacher supported calls for a secular government in Iran, and he said it was time for the mullahs to go back to the mosque.
What's going on in Iran is an abomination to their own belief in God. Do they really think that the people of Iran or the people of the world believe that they have an inside track to the knowledge of God? Do they think that the rest of the world will stand by and accept that they are the arbiters of what is for God and what is against it, even as they whip people in public, even as they commit atrocities and murder the citizens under their control? This is not what God wants. And I do not speak for God, but they're claiming to speak for God. And I can tell you now, the people around this world who believe in God and believe in freedom will reject what is going on in Iran and stand with the people, the freedom-loving people of Iran, instead of the mullahs.
One man in the crowd held a banner that read, Iran's cleric regime equals global terrorism. He explained that he would like the U.S. government to support the student-led democracy movement by applying more pressure on the European Union to stop business with the government. He did not, however, support any U.S. military intervention.
U.S. military intervention is not needed in Iran, and I do not see it needed later on, because the much better way is to support the people. The people will bury these mullahs.
Ross and his son were told by the U.S. Capitol Police they could not be near the demonstrators because they were waging a counter-demonstration. Ross said he was there to remind the demonstrators of the deadly results of past U.S. intervention in the region.
The plans are to do the same thing with Iran they did with Afghanistan and with Iraq. And the fact is that bin Laden and Saddam Hussein both came to power with the help of the United States. If the United States wanted democracy in Iran, they wouldn't have overthrown a popularly elected prime minister in 1953. The CIA wouldn't have done that. Same in Chile, same other places. Senator Brownback is not going to bring my country democracy. That's not his aim. I've gone online and I looked at his past speeches, campaign speeches and everything. He's after two things, spreading Christian right philosophy and free markets. And neither of them is good for my country.
We want democracy for Iran!
For Pacifica's Peace Watch, this is Ingrid Drake. Thanks to Reem Kakuda for help on this report.
We want freedom for Iran!
Well, Iran has received a lot of attention in recent months from the U.S. and U.N. nuclear weapons inspectors, as the U.S. has claimed that Iran is using its civilian nuclear program as a cover for secretly developing nuclear weapons. Bush included Iran in the axis of evil, and there's been talk on the horizon of pushing for regime change in that country. But what exactly should the U.S. role in bringing about Iranian democracy be? For some analysis, Peace Watch spoke earlier today with Simin Royinian, a Kurdish-Iranian economist and co-founder of Women for Peace and Justice in Iran, as well as Reza, a D.C. organizer with the International Alliance of Iranian Students. For security reasons, he wishes to be called by his first name only.
The last election, 10% of the population voted it. 90% did not vote. I mean, the Iranian people, they are right now, their political beliefs are strong. They know what they want. By showing 10% of people voting, that shows 90% they don't want this government. They don't want those the religious leaders. It's been governed those Iranian people for about 24 years of all corruption they have bringing to the country. 24 is unjust. 24 is killing, war. People are tired of it.
Samin, would you agree with that characterization of the current government in Iran?
The current government of Iran, of course, is an Islamic republic, so naturally there is no separation of church and state. And majority of people who are interested in secular government, of course, have been struggling for that, not the last 4 years, but from the inception of this government. But the point is that the students' demonstrations are just that, student demonstrations, and it involved a few thousand students. And in fact, this year it was much smaller than when it happened in 1999. And this year it started by the demand of students against privatization of the universities. And that is very important to point out, because even though naturally in countries when there is not democracy, people will raise their slogans to the level of demand for democracy and also political demands at some point. But many of these demonstrations were arranged by Islamic student associations in many universities. So the fact is that there are very many different demands, and definitely the young people in Iran are looking for more freedom of expression and liberty and human rights. But the characterization is not correct in the sense that these demonstrations, as many of them have said in their slogans in Iran, they said this is a student demonstration, not a pro-U.S. demonstration. And that is very important to pay attention, that why at this point specifically, when the United States government, the Bush administration, and the new conservatives have put Iran on the agenda, they have raised the issue of Iranian demonstrations, which is very legitimate and represents the true interest of Iranian people to bring about more democracy. Why is it that they are using it in order to make more accusations against not the Iranian government, but the people of Iran? And at this point, The important issue is not to allow the legitimate and aspiration of the Iranian people for democracy to be used by the new conservatives and the military in America in order to implement their interests in Iran. It's very interesting that at this time Michael Lindin of the American Enterprise Institute writes about the need for democracy in Iran and has formed an organization for Iran democracy.
Reza, you are with the International Alliance of Iranian Students. What is it exactly that your group is calling for, and are you at all concerned that that the United States may be using these student demonstrations as pro-U.S. demonstrations?
Because what we believe is Iranian problem has to be solved by Iranian people. We will solve our problem. We don't need nobody. All we need from not only America, from all over the world, only and only moral support, nothing else. That's what we're looking for. We are not believing somebody else is going to help us militarily-wise or anything else, or money-wise even. We don't believe in that at all. Our problem will be solved with ourselves. Iran and we are capable and able to change this government. It may take a little bit of time, but we will change this government.
No military intervention, but are you concerned that perhaps the student demonstrations are being used by the Bush administration, being positioned or labeled as pro-U.S.?
Mr. Bush stated that he does not have no intention to do any military intervention in Iran, as we know, as he has stated that. But if he goes for whatever, and if that's the policy changes, of course he wouldn't be interested in that.
Well, he's labeled it part of the axis of evil. Samin, what is your response to that? Do you think that the U.S. should play a role? And if so, what do you believe it should be?
I believe the U.S. government must stay out of Iran. It has already occupied Iraq and is killing the Iraqi people. And we don't want that to happen in Iran. And it's very important to point out that in the 1981 general principle of the Algiers Declaration that the U.S. government signed into with the Iranian government in order to release the hostages, the U.S. government, quote, pledges that it is and from now on will be the policy of the United States not to intervene directly or indirectly, politically or militarily in Iran's internal affairs. This was signed in 1981 because the claim of the Islamic Republic was, in that case, properly and correctly, that the U.S. government had interfered in the matter of Iran for more than 25 years. And they were going to release the hostages because they claimed the hostages were spies, and then this Algiers agreement was signed. So any kind of intervention of the U.S. government, in fact, is a break of the international law and the U.S. law, because United States law says that any agreement that is signed has to be upheld. And in fact, recently in a court, in the court in America held up, in fact, in July 2nd of 2002, in Washington Post was reported that when the hostages, the 52 American hostages, wanted to use the anti-terrorist law in order to claim damages from the Iranian government, the court in America denied it and referred, in fact, to the 1981 Algiers Agreement, whereby the U.S. government said that it will not bring any claims even against the Iranian government. So we have to understand that America is the country which is not for democracy, is breaking every law and regulation. And in fact, it is not true necessarily that the Iranian government lies about its nuclear plan, because, in fact, the nuclear energy plant in Iran was starting its building in 1970 with the help of the U.S. government. And the Russian government today is helping a peaceful use of nuclear energy according to Article number 4 of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, whereby it says that all the signatories into this agreement have to help the third world countries to develop their peaceful nuclear energy. So the Russian government and the Iranian government are in compliance with the Non-Proliferation Treaty, but in fact the U.S. is not. And also, if the United States is interested in talking about anyone having nuclear weapons in the Middle East, it is the Israeli government, which has 200 nuclear heads and also has not signed to the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Reza, you seem to feel as though the Iranian government in power at this time has some sort of, is perhaps abusive or can't be trusted around the nuclear program?
I don't think so.
Can you expound on that?
Because anything they have done, it is something attached to it. It is something that nobody knows what they're doing. They always say something, do something else. That's why I don't trust whatever they do. We don't trust what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't trust their promises.
So you're distrustful of the current government, so, and you'd like to see the U.S. And perhaps the international community provide some sort of, you said moral support, but not
moral
outright
support.
Regime change.
Yes, no, we're looking for regime change, but what we're saying is we can change it ourselves as Iranian. We can do it. We don't want no intervention from any country in Iran except moral support. Mm-hmm. Probably economic sanction. Probably other ways of to help out to bring down this unelected mullah in Iran.
Samin, Kansas Republican Senator Sam Brownback has introduced a bill that would set aside $50 million to use for propaganda directed at Iran. First of all, do you share Reza's concerns about the lack of democracy in Iran? And so, why are you opposed to this bill?
I am concerned about lack of real democracy in Iran. I oppose this bill because, first of all, this bill is introduced by Senator Brownback, who is the darling of the fundamentalist Christians, a Republican in Kansas. And it's very interesting for some of the Iranian exiles who claim to love democracy in Iran and be for secular government, they support an ultra-right fundamentalist Christian to help them to bring about democracy in Iran. So naturally, that's very suspect. And plus, if one does not need intervention of the U.S. in any form, not just military, but according to the Algiers 1981, no American government person is supposed to interfere in the internal affairs of Iran. And to introduce a bill in the U.S. Congress to give money to Iranian exiles in order to propaganda towards Iran, that is an interference in the affairs of Iran. And anybody who supports that is the one who should not be dependent to be telling the truth. Because the Iranian government, like any other government, of course they don't tell the whole truth to the people. But all that we know and we have to go by is the existing UN rules and regulations and international mm-hmm. law and see who has broken it. Mm-hmm. And the Iranian government has not broken international law and regulation. And in fact, yesterday, the New York Times again reports that dissident group says Iranian military has nuclear site. And it's interesting that this dissident group is the same group, Mojahedin Khalq, which now is called a terrorist organization. And it's interesting that the New York Times says that this group has provided reliable information about similar facilities in the past. And one should ask the question, who is telling the truth, New York Times? Because this group, how does it know about nuclear weapons in Iran if even the CIA and all the American satellites and all the UN inspection in Iran has not found anything and they have not found it in Iraq? And the point is that they are carrying on the lie that is under investigation today about Iraq. Now it's being carried on to Iran, not in the interest of democracy for the people of Iran, but definitely to liberate, quote-unquote, the Iranian people the same way that they have, quote-unquote, liberated the people in Iraq.
Reza, are you at all concerned about that?
As long as that you asked me the first question regarding that $60 million, regarding for opposition, the student movement doesn't believe in that either. It doesn't really, because it will defeat the purpose. What it is, when we're talking about oppositions, who are the oppositions? I don't think all opposition agreed on that money. There's only one opposition, they agreed on that money. And I don't want to name names, but there is one opposition, they are looking for that money. But the rest of the opposition, we are not.
So you don't support this
no.
Kansas Republican Senator Sam Brownback's bill for $50 million?
I respect his view regarding Iran, but I wouldn't accept his... No, that's $50 million.
Samin, do you support regime change in Iran?
Yes, in the sense that, I am for secular government and a government that respects the human rights for the people of Iran. But I do not give that a slogan today, neither does our organization, because we believe, I believe, that to bring about any kind of regime change, whether total or by some kind of various steps of reform, is up to the people of that country. And also it's very dangerous today to bring up that slogan that of regime change. That is the aim of the U.S. government. They have stated it, that in the next 12 months, they want in the project for New American Century and in all those statements of the United States Senate, including Republican Senator Lugar and Democratic Senator Fred Graham from Florida, they have announced that Iran is the most dangerous country in the world to the U.S. today, and in the next 12 months, they have to bring about regime change. And the point is, at this point, Iranian people inside Iran do not have the kind of organization than they did in 1979. Any kind of force, interference from outside, with the help of outside, even though it's not military, to topple this regime, as the U.S. government has said, they are interested in destabilizing a regime. And we know that they also want to do that in Venezuela and any country that they don't like the government. And that brings about misery for the people, mm-hmm. because only people have to be ready to carry on a grassroots mass movement, non-cooperation and peaceful, as they did in South Africa, as they did in Zimbabwe, as they did in Iran in 1979, and bring about a regime change. Economic sanctions against a country makes the worst trouble for the people of that country. And this is not a slogan of the people inside Iran, who have been suffering from various economic sanctions and political sanctions, such as not the ability to travel to America easily, and they want to travel to America. And in fact, the only moral support that can come to the people of Iran is from the people of America, the American people who are peace and democratic loving, and they will give their support as people, and they will prevent their government from doing any kind of interference in Iran. And in fact, they will be opposed to sanctions, as we have seen that the peace and justice loving people of America struggle to stop the sanctions against the people of Iraq, even though Saddam Hussein, the dictator, was ruling over that country. So the moral support for the people's movement never comes from a government, and definitely never from the United States government today, which is withdrawing from the international court and punishing any government that gives any support, even to the people of Cuba.
Samin Royanian is a Kurdish-Iranian economist and co-founder of Women for Peace and Justice in Iran. Reza is a D.C. organizer with the International Alliance of Iranian Students. His group staged a protest in front of the U.S. Capitol yesterday in support of the Iranian students and the Iranian pro-democracy movement. Reza's Alliance of Iranian Students is one of many opposition groups calling for democracy in Iran. Professor William Beeman, director of anthropology and director of Middle East studies at Brown University, spoke recently with Gudarz Ektidari of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, about some of the other opposition groups.
There are three important groups. There are some Iranians living outside of Iran who definitely support the current regime and are believe in the Islamic Republic, and they are they happen to be living outside of Iran for reasons of career or because they came here for an education. There's another group that are very openly monarchist. That is, they want to see the regime of the Pahlavi regime restored in Iran. They look back to the past and feel that life was better under the Shah, and that a revolution should never have taken place, and that the Shah should be restored to power. There's a third group who are individuals who are interested in establishing a democracy or republic in Iran, who are not interested in having any kind of monarch, and certainly not interested in restoring the Pahlavis to power. So these are the three groups that are primarily operating outside of Iran. In Iraq, we also have the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, sometimes called the MEK or the MKO. This is a group that has been in existence for some time. They actually have a pedigree that dates all the way back to 1953, to the overthrow of the Mossadegh regime. They've evolved over time. They were opposed to the Shah, and now they're opposed to the present government of Iran. They're a militaristic organization that has been living, has been established in Iraq really ever since Saddam Hussein came to power. And the United States recently reached a truce with this group, and there are some military strategists in Washington who believe that this organization, with all of its military equipment, could serve as a vanguard to try to attack the present government in Tehran.
And I guess we can add that this same group is on the list of State Department as a terrorist organization. Is that correct?
That's correct. So there seems to be a little bit of hypocrisy operating here. They are listed as a terrorist group, and yet the United States is holding them in reserve, as it were, thinking that they may be useful if there is an attack against Tehran. I should point out to you that a number of neoconservatives have tried very hard to revise Washington's view of the Mujahideen at Khalq. There was a famous paper that was written by Daniel Pipes, among others. He's a very well-known neoconservative in Washington who said that the Mujahideen at Khalq are not terrorists, or they were terrorists a long time ago and they're not anymore, and that they can be useful to the United States in trying to overthrow the current Iranian regime.
Let's talk a little bit about the move from Senate, and specifically the Iran Democracy Act that Senator Brownback is suggesting. And I guess to surprise for our listeners, Senator Ron Wyden, which is a senator of Oregon, a Democratic senator from Oregon, is also a co-signer of that resolution. It's called Senate Resolution 82, which specifically calls for regime change in Iran. Could you speak about how these a right-wing Republican senator and a liberal Democrat are coming together and signing this?
Yeah, it is a very curious business, and I think that perhaps it reflects the, I think, rather consistent American policy toward Iran since the Iranian Revolution. It hasn't really mattered whether we have a Democrat in the White House or a Republican in the White House. The various administrations in the United States have all felt that they need to express opposition to the current government in Iran, and the United States is still very angry at Iran for the hostage crisis that took place so many years ago. And it's curious because 75% of the Iranian population is under the age of 25, and they don't remember this at all. But whether it's been a Democratic administration or a Republican administration, the things like sanctions against the Iranian government, the lack of diplomatic representation, hostility toward the Iranian government has been consistent. And so it doesn't surprise me, actually, that we would have a Republican and a Democrat signing off on a bill that was designed to try to promote regime change in Iran at the present time.
And as part of that, I guess, resolution, it's being suggested to spend about $50 million on democracy movement in Iran.
It's $50 million. Primarily, they're talking about giving money directly to opposition groups within Iran, and I would assume, although they don't say so, the Mujahideen Khalq, the MEK or MKO, and also to provide money to support broadcast, radio broadcast, and publication of anti-regime propaganda that can be distributed to the Iranian citizenry and also broadcast to the Iranian citizenry.
The other thing I want to ask you, we talked about Michael Ledeen. Who are the other players in this whole project? I know, for example, Rob Sobhani is one of them.
Yes, Rob Sobhani is an individual who has been active politically for some time. He has a very interesting biography. He claims that his family escaped from Iran to escape the tyranny of the Shah. In fact, his father was a general under the Shah. He was born himself in Kansas, but it was because his father was stationed at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas in order to get military training under an official relationship between the U.S. government and the government of the of the Shah. He married in the United States. He describes himself in one of his documents as a Catholic, which is very strange. But he ran for office twice in Maryland, and he is an energy consultant, and also, because he's originally from Azerbaijan and then speaks Azerbaijani, he's obtained a position to advise the president of the Republic of Azerbaijan, Aliyev, and he seems very interested in the possibility of some kind of regime change in Iran that would facilitate the transport of Caspian oil through Iran.
Professor William Beeman, Director of Anthropology and the Director of Middle East Studies, speaking with Gudars Ektadari of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. Pacifica's Peace Watch is produced in Washington, D.C. Our producer is Scott Gurian. Our editor is Lona Elias. Our engineers today were Scott Gurian and Ara H. Brown. Our associate producer is Angelique Shofar. We had production assistance from Adel Hammond of KPFA, Mike Aloney, and Kathy Sanchez. I'm Verna Avery Brown, the executive producer. Thank you for listening.